Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word, presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace, revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
In his classic work, More Than a Carpenter, Josh McDowell wrote the following. Men and women down through the ages have been divided over the question, who is Jesus? Why so much conflict over one individual? Why is it that his name causes irritation? Why is it that you can talk about God and nobody gets upset? But as soon as you mention Jesus, people so often want to stop the conversation, or they become defensive. I mentioned something about Jesus to a taxi cab driver in London, and immediately he said, I don't like to discuss religion, especially Jesus. How is Jesus different from other religious leaders? Why don't the names of Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius offend people? The reason is that these others didn't claim to be God, but Jesus did. That is what makes him so different. It didn't take long for the people who knew Jesus to realize that he was making astounding claims about himself. It became clear that his own claims were identifying him as more than just a prophet or teacher. He was obviously making claims to deity. He was presenting himself as the only avenue to a relationship with God, the only source of forgiveness of sins, and the only way of salvation. For many people, this is too exclusive, too narrow for them to want to believe. Yet the issue is not what do we want to think or believe, but rather who did Jesus claim to be? In this series, we will address the question, who is Jesus? And we will use various portions and discourses of Christ from the Gospel of John to show who he claimed to be. John 1:29-34 reads, The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. As John the Baptist was carrying out his baptizing ministry at Bethabara in the Jordan River, he saw Jesus coming to him. When Christ approached, John the Baptist, who was a prophet, prophesied, Behold, or look, the Lamb of God. The title Lamb of God is the first of a number of titles given to Christ in this chapter. A lamb, under the law, was a sacrificial animal, killed as a substitute for sins. The lamb was used for sacrifice in the Passover and the sin offering. It was killed and its blood was shed so that sins might be atoned for and covered. The lambs offered in the temple were types and representatives of the true Lamb who was to come, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Here at the dawn of Christ's ministry, he was greeted with words prophesying and declaring his destiny. The title Lamb of God foreshadowed Christ's substitutionary death on the cross for our sins as a sacrificial lamb. John did not present Christ as, Behold, the great moral example, or Behold, the great teacher. He proclaimed Jesus as the lamb who was the sacrifice for the sin of the world. That was Christ's very purpose for coming to the world, to lay down his life and die the death of the cross, paying for the sin of the world. Notice, though, in his prophecy that John the Baptist said sin, not sins. The sin of the world refers to the sinful state of the world under the curse of sin that has existed since the time of the fall. As a result of the Lamb of God's perfect sacrifice for sin, one day the sin of the world and its curse will be taken away and replaced by everlasting righteousness in the new earth. As Revelation 21:4 tells us of the new earth, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And that is because the sin of the world and its curse has been removed, there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Then John stated in verse 30, "This is he of whom I said," which refers to verse 27, when John told the Pharisees, "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." Now that Christ appeared before John by the Holy Spirit, John stated, "This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which was preferred before me, for he was before me." Now John was the forerunner of Jesus, born 6 months before him. But the Messiah preceded John the Baptist in time. The reason Christ was before John in time is because John 1:1 says of Jesus Christ, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Christ existed before John the Baptist from eternity past. He came from eternity. Because he is God, Christ had no beginning, and he is eternal. Thus, as God, Christ is before John the Baptist in time. And as such, of course, he is superior, far higher, infinitely before him in rank and authority. John later said of Christ in the Gospel of John chapter 3, "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all." And Christ, as God in the flesh, is far above all. John stated in verse 31, "And I knew him not," meaning that the identity of the Messiah and this one who was preferred before him was previously unknown to John the Baptist until this moment. What John did know before this was he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. John's baptizing ministry was for two purposes: to prepare the nation of Israel for the Messiah and his kingdom. Second, to present the Messiah to that nation. Through the forerunner, John the Baptist, and his baptizing ministry, the Messiah was to be revealed, introduced, and made manifest to Israel. As you read all the gospel records, what you find with Christ's baptism is that when Christ came to John the Baptist to be baptized of him, at first John protested. And then Matthew 3:16 tells us, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him." So the Lord comes, he goes down into the Jordan River, he's baptized with water by John, and unlike what tradition says, after he was baptized, and as he walked up out of the river, then the heavens opened. And then verse 32 here takes place. "And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." And Matthew 3:17 adds, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Only the Gospel of John records that John saw the descent of the Spirit like a dove, and that it abode upon Jesus. But verse 33 explains the purpose for which he saw this important event. John explains that he did not know the identity of the Messiah and this one who was so infinitely superior to him that was coming, but that God, who sent and commissioned John to baptize with water by God's authority, had told John that the one on whom the Spirit descended while he was baptizing, that's the one. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. And John, seeing the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, it came on Jesus. And that bears proof and testimony that he is the Messiah of Israel. He is the Son of God. John baptized with water, but as God the Father told John the Baptist, the Messiah would baptize with the Holy Spirit, which would take place on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit was sent from heaven and Christ spiritually baptized and identified kingdom believers with the Holy Spirit, and they were indwelt by the Spirit. John stated, "And I saw," that he saw with his own eyes, "that the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus of Nazareth, and it remained on him. And thus, in verse 34, he bore record that Jesus is the Son of God." John bore record that Christ is the Son of God. God the Father bore witness that he is the Son of God when he spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son." And the Holy Spirit gave witness that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God by descending upon him at his baptism. So when we answer the question, who is Jesus? The other two members of the Godhead testify, this is the Son of God. The Father by his words from heaven, the Spirit by descending upon him and remaining on him. That's the most authoritative proof possible for who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. John 1:35-42 reads, "Again, the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, Master, "where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, a stone. On the day after Christ's baptism, two of John the Baptist's disciples were with him when John saw Jesus walking by. As soon as John the Baptist saw Christ, he made a statement about where his followers' loyalty should be. And John said again, "Behold the Lamb of God." This announcement that Christ is the Lamb of God was a directive to his disciples to follow and shift their allegiance to him. John the Baptist wanted his followers to commit to a higher and the highest authority, to the Son of God, who is God Almighty. After hearing John's words, these two disciples, who were Andrew and likely John, the writer of this gospel, they both left John the Baptist and followed Christ. Seeing these two disciples following and walking behind him, the Lord Jesus asked them, "What seek ye?" The question Christ posed to these disciples is much more profound than the response that he received. The question had to do with asking about their purpose, their object in life, what they were seeking by following him. He wanted them to search their hearts as to whether they were motivated by an idle curiosity or by a real desire to know Him, follow Him, be committed to where He would lead them in life. The response by these two men was, "Rabbi," which is to say, which is being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" The reason the disciples asked Christ where He was staying was that they stated their intention to follow Him wherever He went. Thus the Lord replied, "Come and see." And He invited Andrew and John to see where He dwelt and also to accompany Him and be a part of His ministry. Verse 39 tells us, "They came and saw where He dwelt and abode with Him that day, and they remained with Him from that day forward." John, the author of this gospel, added, "For it was about the 10th hour." As he recalled, even after years had elapsed, the exact hour he found Christ and first met his Lord, because this was a life-changing moment for John. Christ changed John's life. He changed my life, and He can change yours as well. There are countless people who have this testimony of being transformed by Jesus Christ, which powerfully bears out the truth of who Jesus is as God, Savior, and Lord. Before they went with Christ to see where He dwelt, however, Andrew first went to find his own brother, or Peter. Andrew's response to finding Christ was to invite his family to come and meet Him as well. When Andrew found his brother, he told him, "We found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. Andrew fully believed, and he was convinced that Jesus was Israel's Messiah. Messias, or Messiah, is Hebrew, means the same as the Greek word Christ, which is anointed, or the anointed one. The words Messiah and Christ are synonymous. The title Messiah came to be used for the future Davidic king of Israel. The idea behind the meaning the anointed one came from the practice in Israel's history of anointing with oil, which was symbolic of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, prophets, priests, and kings were anointed with oil and set apart for their special service. And Jesus Christ is all three: prophet, priest, and king. Who is Jesus? He's the long-promised Messiah of Israel, her prophet, her priest, and her king. Andrew brought Peter to Christ, and when the Lord beheld Peter, He told him, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, a stone. When Christ looked at Simon, fully knowing him as God, knowing the man's character and destiny, indicating the purpose He had for him and the kind of man Simon would be transformed into, which was a rock-solid man of strength and stability, the Lord gave him a surname or a nickname, Cephas. Cephas is Aramaic and means a stone, a rock. And the Greek translation of Cephas is Petros, or Peter. John 1:43-51 reads, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The day after Andrew and John met Christ, and Peter was also introduced to him, the Lord desired to go forth into Galilee in northern Israel. Christ had been in the southern district of Judea when he was baptized by John, and now he decided to return north to Galilee. As he went, he found Philip, and finding him, the Lord told him plainly and challenged him, Follow me as one of his disciples. And Philip did. Like Andrew, Philip then went to find and tell someone about Christ, and he finds Nathanael. We learn later in John that Nathanael was from Cana in Galilee. Philip told Nathanael that we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He told Nathanael that they had found the promised Messiah who was foretold would come in the law and in the prophets and the one who was the fulfillment of prophecy. This shows us that the beliefs of these men were based on and anchored in the scriptures, as ours are to be as well. Nathanael's response was, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nathanael wondered if anything good could come out of such an insignificant place as this town in the hills of Galilee called Nazareth, especially the most significant person of all to an Israelite, the Messiah. Nazareth was not a consequential place in Scripture either. And thus, Nathanael's question and mindset might have arisen from that as well, such as later in John when some debated the Messiah coming from Galilee. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Philip's response was not to argue with Nathanael, but to simply invite him to come and see. Philip knew that if Nathanael met Christ personally, his apprehension would be taken away and his questions would be answered. Presumption, bias, a predetermined mindset about who Jesus is are a problem when it comes to understanding who he truly is. Many think they know who Jesus is without ever having truly looked into it for themselves. Like Nathanael, people need to come directly to him in order to see who he truly is. So Nathanael went, and as he approached, verse 47 says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile. Without any previous contact with Nathanael, out of his supernatural divine knowledge as God, Christ complimented him. That here's a man with no guile, or there's nothing deceptive or hypocritical about this man, Nathanael. This takes Nathanael back, and so he asked the Lord, Whence knowest thou me? Or how do you know me? Christ saw into Nathanael's heart without ever having met him, and then he saw his exact earlier physical location without being present, telling him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. What Christ said was exactly right. And his omniscience overwhelmed Nathanael and removed any doubt as to his identity. And so Nathanael answered and said, saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. He ascribed titles to Christ that far transcended him being a rabbi or a teacher only. He believed in his person. He's the Son of God in his office. You're the King of Israel. Who is Jesus? Nathanael tells us plainly. He's the Son of God. He's the King of Israel. He's God and he's royal. And the fact that Christ is God's son and Israel's king is the testimony from a man with no guile, no deceit. The Lord had supernaturally described Nathanael's character and had seen him under the fig tree when he was not present. But now Christ promised that he would see greater proofs than these, that he is the Son of God and Israel's Messiah King. And he told him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." We have no record of the disciples seeing these words literally fulfilled during Christ's earthly ministry. But it reminds you, in Israel's past, how Jacob dreamed and saw a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. In the Lord's words in John 1:51, the Son of Man replaces the ladder, because Christ is the Son of God and the Son of Man. He is the ladder, the living link between heaven and the earth. And he gives man access to God. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And he was God's communication with mankind on earth as the Word, the one who declared the Father in heaven and spoke his words to Israel on the earth. And during the future kingdom of heaven on earth, and in the eternal state in the new earth, the Lord will have a throne on earth, and angels will ascend and descend upon him as they do his bidding. And since Nathanael believed in Christ as the Son of God and the King of Israel, the Lord told him that he would literally see that take place someday. From just this section of John alone, as we answer the question, who is Jesus? We learn that he's the Lamb of God. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the King of Israel. And he is the Son of Man.
I could sit under other preaching for years and not get out of it as much as I receive in 30 minutes. Pastor Kevin says it without hesitation, plain and simple, so I can understand it.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society. Now, until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.